Thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's Word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
Life is hard, and God is good. Life is hard, and God is good. I read those words several years ago, and I was gripped by how honest and true they were to real life. There are times and seasons in our lives where we struggle to reconcile what we're experiencing with what we think we should be experiencing. And the way to engage that struggle is to face reality. Life is hard and God is good. When I was in high school, I lost a friend to cancer. It was a difficult season that progressed over the span of a few years. And the slow and downward spiral of his condition brought us to the hospital of sick children almost every single day, hoping and praying for healing, but having to actually eventually embrace his death. It was a difficult time. It was a difficult season. Later in university, I lost another friend to a terrible car accident. That particular pain came suddenly and abruptly. One moment we were playing basketball together at York University. The next moment he was gone from the face of the earth. It was confusing. It was a hard time. And there are times and seasons in our short, hevel lives when we generally and genuinely struggle to understand the meaning and the purpose of the season, the time that we are in. And this frustrates us because deep down in our hearts, we feel the injustice of, say, a young person dying, whether of cancer or of a car accident. We struggle so often to understand the times that we're living in, the seasons that we're living in. And this next section of Ecclesiastes we're about to jump into, the preacher gives us a window into his own struggle to understand the times and seasons of life, the good times and the bad times, the clear times and the confusing times. Our lives are made up of times and seasons. How should we think about them? Well, I want you to get your Bible open to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to take a look at the preacher's experience and his struggle with time and seasons. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I'm going to read from verses 1 to 17 only, just for the interest of time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, starting from verse 1, this is what it says. It says this, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven." Notice this. "A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace." Verse 9. "What gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before him. That which is already has been. That which is to be already has been. And God seeks what has been driven away. Verse 16. Moreover, I saw under the sun that in the place of justice, even there was wickedness, and in the place of righteousness, even there was wickedness. I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every matter and for every work. We're going to stop right there again for the interest of time. Our lives are made up of times and seasons. And as I said, we struggle to understand the meaning and the purpose of the times and seasons of our lives. This is what the preacher is describing here, his struggle. And so I'm going to show you just two things from this passage and the time that we have. Number one is this: our times and seasons are, I want you to understand this, are filled with complexity. Our times and our seasons are filled with complexity. I want you to notice verse 1. It says, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Now, the preacher's theme here is clear, but not always obvious to us in our lives. Through poetry, the preacher teaches us that the entirety of our lives is made up of a series of complex and unpredictable times and seasons. And there are a few key observations I want to make as we go on. These times and seasons of our lives. First, these times and seasons of our lives are, I want you to understand this, they're completely out of our control. That's what I want you to see. We see that right away in verse 2. He says, a time to be born and a time to die. Right away in this first sentence of the poem, the preacher intentionally calls our attention to the totality of our lifespan from birth till death, and the reality that none of us has any control over our birth, and none of us have any control over our death. The times and seasons of our lives are completely out of our control. Secondly, I want you to notice that the times and seasons of our lives consist of both beauty and brokenness. I want you to notice some of the poetic contrasts in verses 3-4, for example. He says, a time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Not only are the times and seasons of our lives completely out of our control, but the complexity of life is seen in the harsh pendulum swings between beauty and brokenness. And this is difficult for us. Then one moment we're experiencing the beauty of life, and the next moment we're experiencing the brokenness of life. If the poem were to be written in our modern context, maybe it would sound something like this. There's a time to celebrate the birth of a baby, and there's a time to wave sadly as they drive away to university. There's a time to work and earn and save, and there's a time in life to realize maybe I haven't saved enough for retirement. There's a time to feel safe and secure, and there's a time to install an alarm system because your neighbor's house got broken into. There's a time to talk and laugh and be comforted by a friend, and there's a time to mourn and grieve because that friend has betrayed you. Life is complex and unpredictable and uncontrollable. And the very nature of the poem here in Ecclesiastes 3 conveys its meaning. For example, not all the pairs in the poem are perfect contrast between good times and bad times. Life is complex and it's seen in the poem itself. Some of the contrasts in the poem can be good in certain circumstances and bad in other circumstances. The very structure of the poem conveys its meaning. What's its meaning? That life is complex, filled with complexity. And as the preacher says these things, he's frustrated by this reality. Because no matter what he does and no matter how hard he works, he realizes he cannot control the times and seasons of his life. No matter how hard he tries, he cannot escape the complexity and the brokenness of life. Life is hard. And life is beautiful. Which one is it for you today? Hard or beautiful? There's a time and season for everything. And life's random nature leads the preacher to this familiar and frustrated conclusion. I want you to notice in verse 9, he says, "What gain has the worker from his toil?" He says it again. In other words, he's saying, "Why am I doing this? What am I doing here? What's the point of all of this? I can't control my life. I can't master my life. I can't find satisfaction in my life. And in the end, I'm just going to die and be forgotten. What is the point of this complex and brief unfolding of times and seasons? What's the point?" And maybe you're here and this is what you feel. Maybe you're feeling, what is the point? There's no ultimate gain in this life, as we've been seeing in Ecclesiastes, and our lives are filled with these complex and swinging times and seasons. What's the point? How should we think about time? How about this? How should we think about our current times? We've been trapped in the COVID crisis for well over a year now. Stay-at-home orders, lockdowns, restrictions. You can't go to church. You can't meet your friends. Everyone's covered with a face mask. Do you ever find yourself trying to make sense of the times and the seasons we're living in, hoping within to gain some kind of control over this time, this season, but realizing that you can't? So what's the point? Well, our times and seasons are filled with complexity. The preacher wants us to know that and understand that and embrace that. Good times, bad times, confusing times, hard times, tragic times, times of rejoicing. But there's something else I want you to see where we can find our comfort and our hope. Not only are our times and seasons filled with complexity, you say, yeah, I can relate to that, but where's the hope in the text? I want to show you. Our times and seasons are not only filled with complexity, but our times and seasons are under God's sovereignty. Under God's sovereignty. Now, David Gibson wrote this. He wrote, "Now the preacher adds a wonderful perspective, and it's one we're meant to have with us as we read the rest of the book. The times of my life are not the only times there are." Look at verse 11. It says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time." And here's the beautiful perspective, that God himself is involved in our times and seasons. And while he stands outside of our times and seasons, he himself is ordering the patterns of our lives within a grander pattern and purpose. And as the preacher wrestles with the brevity of life and the complexity of its times and the inevitability of death, he's confronted with a deep insight. I want you to notice it in verse 11, the second part. He says, "Also," notice it, "He," God, "has put eternity into man's heart." That as the preacher wrestles with the brevity of life and the complexity of life and the meaning of life, he realizes in the midst of this moment, I can't control this life. He realizes this. There must be more than this. God has put eternity in the hearts of man. That deep within the hearts of man, deep within our hearts, in the midst of our struggle with the brevity of life and the complexity of life, pain and sorrow and hardship and even beauty, in the midst of it all, even in this season we're living in, there is something inside of us that tells us, that teaches us, there must be more than this. That am I going to stay trapped within these times and seasons forever that I can't control? Am I going to stay trapped, unable to break free from the brokenness? He says that he has put eternity into man's heart. And as we wrestle with the brevity of life and the complexity of our times and the inevitability of death, isn't this what reverberates within us? There must be something more. Why do you feel that? Why do you sense that? It's because the preacher says, we're not going to be trapped within these times and seasons forever. In fact, God has put eternity into our hearts. Now notice verse 14. He says, I perceived, this is important, listen, I perceived that whatever God does, notice this, endures forever. Now here's his realization. Our lives, your life, my life, our lives are enclosed, are bound within perplexing times and seasons that we cannot control, but God is not enclosed. God is not bound by time. And here's the key. Our meaning then, our hope, our purpose, our help today, our encouragement is found not in breaking free from this thing, these times and seasons that we are trapped within. No, our hope is found in Him, the one who is outside, who is not bound or enclosed Himself. I want you to notice now verse 16. It says this, moreover, I saw under the sun that in the place of justice, even there was wickedness. And in the place of righteousness, even there was wickedness. I said in my heart, watch this, God will judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time for every matter and for every work. The preacher recognizes the injustice of the broken world that he lives in, that we live in, that we are locked into, these times and seasons of our lives filled with injustice. Think about it. In our world, babies are born and teenagers die and spouses are cherished and spouses are abused. There is good, there is bad, there are horrific things, there are beautiful things, and neither of these things, none of these things are under our control. So what is our hope then? Look at verse 17 again. I said in my heart, as he struggles with the brevity of life and the complexity of the times and seasons, I said in my heart, what? God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every matter and for every work. You see, loved ones, our hope today in the midst of the complexity of life, the complexity and perplexity of our times and seasons, our hope is in the eternality and the sovereignty of God. He says, I perceived what God does endures forever. He's not locked within times and seasons. But he is in our times and seasons working together a sovereign purpose. That the preacher identifies one day God, who is not locked within times and seasons, one day God will bring about perfect justice. It's true. He will bring about perfect justice to all that's unfolding in our times and seasons. One day God will put everything that's wrong right. And the preacher understands that while our lives are trapped within complex times and seasons, God is not trapped. And this is, in fact, where meaning and purpose and hope is found, loved ones. So many of us are despairing because we actually believe in our hearts, if we do a little bit more, if we say something more, if we try something else, we can control the times and seasons. We can't. That's not where our hope is found. We don't need to despair because we can't control our lives. We can, in fact, know joy and hope because there is one who does have control, whose work does endure forever, and who is providentially ordering our times and seasons according to a grander cosmic purpose. And this means then that what we do in this life actually does matter, because we will all give an account. Because while our times and seasons will soon be forgotten in this world, some of us say, we're going to die and be forgotten. And the preacher says, what's the point? Here's the point. Our times and seasons will be forgotten in this world, but they will not be forgotten by God. You understand? God will judge, he says, that all will give an account. So the teacher's not propagating some, oh, we can't control this life, nothing we do matters, so let's just do whatever we want. No, that's not what he's saying. He's precisely pointing to the fact of God's sovereignty and God's judgment one day, that we will give an account to him, that all our times are in his hands, to show us that what we do here actually does mean something. Why? Because yes, we will be gone and forgotten when we die in this world, but we will not be forgotten by God. You see, loved ones, God will not forget us. Everything we do is seen and known by God, the one who is ordering our times and seasons. And this, loved ones, is the hope that we need today, because I don't know about you, but I am tired of COVID-19. I'm tired of restrictions. I'm tired of my own sin. I'm tired of the hardship that sin brings upon the people of God. I'm tired of how sin is tearing people apart. I'm tired of how marriages are falling apart. I'm tired at my own heart, how it's so wayward so often. I'm tired, and so I feel so often, where is hope? Here is hope. Not in my ability to control the times and seasons, because I can't. My hope is in a sovereign God who does control the times and seasons. So, loved ones, when you're watching the news or scrolling through your social media feed or frustrated by COVID-19 or skeptical of vaccines or suffering with cancer or mourning the loss of a loved one or anticipating the arrival of a precious baby, until we realize that there is one who is in control, even now, even today, even in the days that we're living in, even while you are tired and fatigued at the season you're in, until we realize that there is one who is in control, the Lord Jesus Christ, we will never be able to make sense of and find peace in the midst of all the hevel, the vanity, the times and the seasons that seem to come and go and come and go. So I want to encourage you. I want us to lift our eyes off of the circumstances we find ourselves in. I want us to think clearly about the times and seasons of our lives. Whether it's a tragic time for you or whether it's a beautiful time for you, I want you to think clearly about it. Nothing we do changes this pendulum swing of life that we are in, these times and seasons that we are trapped within, from beauty to brokenness to beauty to brokenness and more brokenness and then some beauty and more brokenness. Our hope is not in our ability to break free from times and seasons. Our hope is in the sovereign God who is outside of our times and seasons and who is involved in our times and seasons and who sees us and who loves us and who has placed eternity in our hearts, so that you and I know right now, you can know right now, yes, there is more than this. David Gibson said this. He said, living well in God's world means recognizing that when it comes to our own lives, listen, we are not mini gods. And this is His creation, not ours. We have all the pieces of our life given to us, and things come and go and seasons change, and it is only God who knows exactly where everything is meant to go, in which order, at what time, and why. And one day, the small tiny piece of the puzzle, which is your life, will make sense in the grand scheme of God's good and sovereign plan. One day, this is beautiful, this is hope-filled. One day, your little puzzle piece, which is your life, my little puzzle piece, which is my life, will finally make sense in the tapestry, in the canvas of God's beautiful design throughout redemptive history. And so today we can be comforted. If life is hard for you, God is good. Life is complex. God is good. When life is beautiful, God is good. When life is hard, God is good. I wonder if you're walking through a season right now where you say, it's hard. Be comforted, loved ones. Our times and seasons are, yes, filled with complexity, but they are under God's sovereignty. Let us pray. Oh Lord, I pray right now that we would receive the truth of your eternality and your sovereignty as hope for our souls. God, I confess that I'm tired and weary so often of the times and seasons of my life that are just hard. I know there are so many that are tired. I pray that we are renewed and encouraged in this fact that while our lives are complex and unpredictable and out of our control, you are sovereign and you love us. I pray that you would cause the beautiful truth and doctrine and belief in the sovereignty of God to comfort us. Let it truly be, as Spurgeon said, the pillow that we can lay our head on at the end of each day to rest. God is in control. God loves you. God loves me. God loves our church. And our times and seasons are not out of His sight. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.